I'm going to start out tonight with some personal information. Most of you don't know that I have 3 tattoos. Some of you may have tattoos. I got my first tattoo in 2nd grade. The next 2 came before I was out of junior high school. They are all 3 unintentional tattoos. And they all consist of 1 single gray dot. You probably have figured out they are pencil lead marks. Many individuals today seek to have markings, possibly ink or a decorative scar placed on their skin. Sometimes it's to memorialize a personal triumph. Maybe it is to mark a special occasion or a sad event in their life. Several years ago, I worked in a grocery store, and while I was working in the grocery store, one of the jobs I had was stocking groceries, and I would take a razor blade and open up boxes, and sometimes I would set goals. These goals would be, let's see how fast I can get this out tonight, which led to using that razor blade in a way that cut my skin a few times. So I have many scars on my hands from a razor blade. But today when I look at my hands, I can remember those events that took place. I remember asking Tony McLemore in 2nd grade to give back my pencil. And he gave it back to me by stabbing me right in the palm of my hand. Or Scott Watson in 8th grade flicking the back of my head with his pencil, which he really had just sharpened real well. I told him to stop, reached back, and then brought the pencil back sticking in my finger. Or the time that I was opening a box too quickly, faster than my brain really thought that I was doing, and sliced into my thumb. I remember those times. I looked down at my hands and I think about those memories. I believe God does the same kind of thing in the Bible. I believe He has put marks in the Bible. Things that at the time that the event took place for people to remember, and then also for us to remember as we study today. One of the first marks that I would like to share with you, and by the way, this is not an in-depth study. There's no way I could hit every point within the amount of time that I'm given. But just a short few examples to make my point tonight. It's Abraham's covenant with God. Now, this is obviously circumcision, and in Genesis 17, beginning there in verse 9, "And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh." This is skipping down to verse 13. "And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Now, this is a physical scarring that meant that these individuals belong to God. This mark was something that was done to show that God had His people and covenant with His people. Another kind of mark is, it's a little bit different kind of mark, but I believe it's in the same kind of frame, was the original Passover there in Exodus 12. Now, you are familiar with this story that there's a little squeak there that if you walk too much, you'll squeak around. But in that story of the Israelites, they were in captivity in Egypt, and we're familiar with that. Moses had gone to Pharaoh several times and said, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he just would not do it. And God finally said, I'm going to send the destroyer through the land. He gave instructions to Moses to say to the people, if the people will do this, I will pass over. Now, a lot of those instructions had to do with preparing a sacrificial lamb, to the way to eat the meat, prepare the meat. But one particular thing that they had to do was to take the blood of that lamb and to mark their doorpost and the lintels to signify that they belonged to God, to say, we are with you. Please pass over. And when the destroyer came, he came to those houses, he would pass over. Now, both of these examples, the people had to show faith by making this mark and show that they belong to God. Another type of marking in the Bible that we see frequently are events that are remembered. Now, one of the events that comes to our mind easily is the story there of the crossing of the Jordan River. Moses passes away and Joshua takes over as commander of the Israelites. And it is his job to get Israel to the promised land. We're familiar with that story, how Joshua miraculously stops the water, the people walk over on dry land, and Joshua instructs the people to take the stones and to create this altar, this memorial. Beginning there in Joshua 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Why are we doing this? That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in a time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Other types of events God wanted remembered were events for special occasions, things that took place. I talked about the Passover. Well, then there was a Passover feast to remember that. In Deuteronomy 16, there's a list of events there, or feasts or festivals that God wanted remembered. People made their marks in the Bible. Easy ones that we can come up with. You think a lot of times about what do we know this person for? I've heard of people saying, what character of the Bible am I similar to? And we know these things, we try to apply these things because those people made a mark in the Bible. They're known for something. Quickly, you can think of Barnabas. What's he known for? Encouragement. What about Thomas? He doubted that Jesus returned. Even said, unless I put my hands there in Jesus' marks, I'm not going to believe. But I like to think about the Bereans. The Bereans eagerly studied God's Word. They studied daily and searched the Scriptures daily. They wanted to make sure that what they were being told was correct. They wanted to be sure that they learned as much as they could. Now, I wonder a lot of times, do we make that mark? I have, at times in my life, failed on that one. But I will say that last year was the first year in my life that I read daily through the Bible. I missed a few days there, here and there, 3 or 4 days through that year. But for the most part, I read through the Bible within that year. I even did a few days or two of double reading so that I could get caught up. Now that left a mark on me. That made me a stronger Christian. It made me be able to resist some things that maybe I would not have been able to resist. It certainly made me a better husband, father, and person. We can't talk about marks in the Bible without thinking about the terrible marks that Jesus had to endure for each of us. You're familiar with the crucifixion and the story of the crucifixion. The events listed out there in Matthew 27, the beating, the scourging, the tearing of His flesh, so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. Paul explains there in Galatians 6, verses 12 through 17, the marks that a Christian should bear. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read through all of those verses, but what I would like to point out is there in verse 17, Paul is summing up this letter, and he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Christians are marked by baptism. By this process, we die to the world and we're made alive in God. We, in a sense, permanently scar ourselves as belonging to God, as long as we continue to live in His righteousness. There may be some here tonight that don't have that mark. You haven't yet marked yourself as a Christian. Or there may be some here that receive those marks, but they've really forgotten what they're for. Maybe something in your life has pulled you away. In either case, though, if you have a request to make of us tonight, this congregation, you can do so as you come forward while we stand and sing.